So if you take a look at that sheet, you can see these passages where Jesus is talking about himself. He's telling, he's saying, this is who I am. And he's saying that really, you know, I think both to, you know, himself, although he knows full well who he is, but he is saying that to himself, and he's saying that to other people. And there's tremendous power in that. And on the one side, if you start just kind of reading through some of these things, you might notice a couple of things. The first thing that I noticed about this is the power of what we tell ourselves. A lot of times I'll talk to people and I'll say, watch out, beware of what you say to yourself because you'll believe it. So you want to be very careful, very intentional about what that is, good or bad, helpful or harmful. And what we tell ourselves, everything follows from that. We build a framework, and that sets a tone for our emotional health, for our strength, for our resiliency, for how we relate to other people, for how we relate to ourselves, whether we're kind to ourselves or harsh to ourselves. And it can go either way, depending on those messages, and either with love, compassion, balance, honesty, or, as we see too often these days, otherwise. And what that otherwise can be, it can go the other way, and it can turn into belittling or deprecating or just being negative. And you can see a stark contrast with that when we look at Jesus' list of words that he says. And there's a number of things that pop out. One is that he's always positive, right? Always positive, relentlessly positive, encouraging. Only encouraging, only uplifting. And why is that? Because that's faith. That's part of faith. And after all, it is faith, and it's not discouragement, right? It is faith. It's not, you know, I'm going to share my depression. It's faith. It's not negativity. Now, it doesn't mean you can't be sad. You know, you need to be authentically who you are. But you can't be a person of faith and be a person of perpetual discouragement either. You know, the person who's the downer in the crowd is not the person who's, you know, uplifting with faith. And it impacts other people. Faith builds up. And you think about that in light of Christ, and it's pretty remarkable, more than remarkable, I think, how Jesus could do this. And it wasn't like falling off a log. He did it with extreme intention, considering how many times and how many situations in which he found himself that were anything but encouraging, right? And he was almost always in situations that were fraught with strife and angst and depression and hopelessness, right? But because of his self-identity and because he was crystal clear with that, and that was the stake that he put in the ground and drove it deeply and unshakably. He had the self-identity as a shepherd. We read this in these verses. As a teacher, as a gentle nurturer, just saying, this is who I am. As someone who was unwilling not to help. And that's a wonderful one right there. You know, you think about his words where he said, I'm unwilling to send them away hungry. And that word unwilling, obviously, has to do with his will, which is an option, which we can have our will go this way or have our will go that way. Sometimes it's very difficult, but it is a choice. Because he was unwilling not to stand on the sidelines, that's a posture of strength. And that's a posture of strength for him, that's a posture of strength for us that we take up. So looking at his list, we see that he identifies himself as one who feeds the hungry, one who prays, one who serves. He says, I'm one who serves. He says, and I love this one, God is working still and I am working. This understanding, I love this understanding that God is still working and I'm working. This understanding that, you know, it's not yet complete. The job is not yet done. There's still work to do. We are works in progress. And that's all very, very powerful, powerful stuff. It also means, you know, because it's not perfect, and we're not perfect, that tells me a lot about who I am. You know, but I'm not expected to be perfect. It's in progress. It also says some powerful things about what can I expect realistically in this life? What does it say about what am I supposed to do? As in, am I supposed to be discouraged? Because, my God, I work and I work and I work and, you know, it's not all perfect. I got to get up the next day and I got to work some more at it. It's like, that's the way it is. I wake up tomorrow and there's still things to be done. And so, you know, I think, well, if God's still at work and if Jesus is still at work, I think I can still certainly be working at it as well. So number one, he's always positive. Number two, encouraging is part of that. Number two is they're working at it. Number three, related to this, is that he never puts himself down. He never belittles others, number four. Never, ever undermines. Never calls names, never bullies. And when you look at that, and what is of Christ and what is anti-Christ, what is the opposite of that message, that, you know, people who do that, people who call name and bully and put people down and so forth, that is anti-Christ. Because it's opposite. And it may sound strong, but you can see when you look at these words how that's opposite of what Christ is about. As he describes himself as the bread of life. So feeding others, the light of the world. Good shepherd, helping others to find a way. That's what he's about. It's like there's a wonderful proverb, and it says, a man's words, and sorry, I know it's sexist, but I couldn't figure out how to change it, so maybe it doesn't apply to women, I don't know. But it says, a man's word will fall and wrap themselves around him like a cloak. I love that imagery. The power of words. And I think, you know, what if every word I said, fell and wrapped around me like a cloak? What would that cloak be? What if every word you said to yourself, what if every word that you said to others wrapped around you like a cloak? Conclusion. What are the words you tell yourself about who you are, about why you're here, about how easy or challenging we think life is supposed to be? And what do we tell ourselves about what our duty is to each other, to the least of these? One of the passages says, and the word became flesh. Right? The words that we tell ourselves, they become flesh. They become part of us. That is sacred power. On the flip side of those scripture passages, there's also a list, and there are all sorts of words. And if you look at those words, you see and you feel that those words have power. Take a look at them. You can feel their power. Some nurturing power and some toxic power. And so this Lent, I would offer you this, that perhaps more fruitful than, say, you know, giving up chocolate or giving up candy or something. How about giving up toxic words? How about being unwilling to accept anything from yourself or from others except those thought patterns, those words for yourself and others, unless they are nurturing, unless they are of God? Christ was intentional. He was very conscious about the words that he chose. So may you look at these lists and may you choose. What will be your flesh? What will be your cloak? When you say, I am, and you fill in the blank, that is sacred power. Amen. And now we get a treat from our choir. And I want to thank our choir in advance. Thank you so much, and Elaine.
water. Wade in the water, children. Wade in the water. God's gonna trouble the water. Down in the valley, down on my knees. Wade in the water. Asking my Lord to save me, please. Wade. Jehovah, he spoke, wade in the water. Out of his mouth came fire and smoke. Wade in the water. I heard a rumbling up in the sky. Wade in the water. Must have been Jesus passing by.
Thank you. revelation comes, and when the revelation comes, oh Lord, I want to be in that number.
Most loving God, as we continue on our Lenten journey, our time of reflection, we take this time to pause as we recognize that the weeks leading up to Easter were difficult ones for your son, Jesus. There was discord in the government. People were rising up against one another. People stopped listening to Jesus' words and could only hear their own. They turned on one another, sometimes violently, to try to prove their own agendas. The high priests and leaders of the time spent more time trying to trap Jesus through his message than they did trying to understand him through his life. So help us, God, to not be like them. Help us to set aside that which divides us and pick up your love which unites us. Because, God, you call us to be more Christ-like, not a lamp hidden under a bushel, but a light to shine for the sake of others. So in our own tumultuous times, help us to be who you call us to be, more bold in our faith, more tender in our relationships, more just in our actions, and more tethered to your word, giving us a sense that you are with us, that all things are possible through you. And so we take this time to pause and to be with you, God, to reconnect our souls with your love and to open our hearts to you. And we come to this sacred place today with our own concerns, but what you remind us of is that we are never alone in our worries. And as we are gathered in this place, we are gathered as one. And where one is troubled, the rest of us share those troubles. We pray for all of us who have pressing troubles in their lives, for those who are facing financial struggles, for others who are caring for spouses or parents or children, for those who are feeling fear or discouragement that's stealing their joy, and for others who are caught up in worry over the world around us. Give us all your calming presence, your kind spirit, your never-ending love. And during these trying times, we pray that whatever forces may threaten to divide us, you will unite us in the knowledge that you alone are our God, and that it is you in whom we put our trust. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.